Can we too say, come what will, I will stand upon my God. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you this morning and we want to thank you for your goodness again to us and your mercies. Lord, we just ask you to help us to be faithful to you, to bring glory to your name. Lord, help us stand for our God, Father. Amidst the war, the battle that we're in, we just pray, Lord, you'd help us to be faithful to you. Fill us with your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we fight this war. In Jesus' name. All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. Wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, and his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far to you also in the preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Amen. Just reading this last part, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, and having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Then in verse 16 it says, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready at our hand. I think in verse the thought I had there was just about, we can't trust in what's been handed down to us or what other men's labors have done. The battle is ours right now. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors. What's been handed down to us, we can't boast about that. Our battle is now. What I want to talk about this morning, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not stand against you. So many people try to build a fortress that God can't, or that Satan can't attack them. They go on the defense and they do all kinds of things to ensure that they're secure and they're going to be safe and they're going to be in a nice, comfortable place and the gates of hell won't attack them. That's the way the thought is. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the gates of hell will not stand against you. Satan cannot stand against the church of God. He can't do it. Jesus overcame and defeated Satan. He overcame his power. He destroyed his kingdom. And the gates of hell cannot stand against you. If you're going to play defense, and that's all you're going to do, that's not the place that the church of God is supposed to be fulfilling today. It's not to go secure yourself and secure everything that you have and your family off someplace and just protect and build defenses. Build walls, make rules, do all kinds of things so that you'll be safe. That is just exactly opposite. One of the brothers mentioned about having being content. We talked a little about it last night. There's two kinds of contentment. Some of us have been called discontent because we're not content with just playing defense and staying in a nice, safe place. Safe and protected, to protect your family. Protect what has been handed down to you. We're not content for that. There's two different kinds of contentment. Paul said to be content with what you have. Be content with your life. Be content with what He's given you. What you eat. We live in a place that's a real problem today. A lot of the things we worry about eating, or we worry about the comforts that have, or the many things that we have, we worry all about those things. Well, I'm going to tell you, about 90% of the world don't have the privilege to worry about what kind of diet they're on. They don't have the privilege to worry about organic food. They're glad to get anything. Those are privileges that we have, and we dare not let them control us. Be content with what you have. Be content with what the place that God has put you. That's the contentment God's looking for. But the problem is, people are discontent about those things and get all content about where they are spiritually. They get all comfortable with where they are spiritually. That's the contentment that God despises. Whenever you get content, you're dead spiritually. Whenever you think you're there, you think you've got all the walls built up, you're dead. When you think you're saved, you're dead. When you think that the way you live is doing just right, you don't need to go on any farther, you're dead. There is no middle ground. You're either going up or you're going down. You're not resting contently in this world. There's a devil and there's a God. And you're either on one side or the other. And the devil's biggest, best lie for you is to tell you you're safe in this world. That you've got your spirituality under control. Thank God for problems that keep us on our edge. Thank God for temptations that show us that we're still weak. Those are good things. Not that we're tempted, but they keep us on our toes and on the battle. Whenever you get everything situated just right, we're just naturally in our life seeking about how to situate everything to where it makes our life easy, and it makes our life good. Just seems like that's what we're all about. Humanity. And this country that we live in has manifested that and magnified that beyond belief. But it's all about building our little nest of security so that we can rest content in this world. That's what it's all about. We like having new ideas, new inventions, and time savers, and labor-saving devices. But they're dangerous to us if we begin to pat ourselves on the back and think we've made it where we need to be. We've got to guard ourselves against that kind of contentment. Be discontent with resting in this world and press into the kingdom of God. Go against the kingdom of Satan. His gates can't stand against you. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Don't rest. Don't get content. Press on. The spirit of contentment in that manner is from Satan. I believe that's part of the lie that God gives to those who won't walk in the truth. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The pulling down of strongholds. This is in a time whenever people built castles or built big forts to protect themselves. Strong, powerful forts. Things that it took a lot of effort to tear down. Some of the things today we can tear up pretty quick. But a big old fort made out of solid rock was pretty hard to tear down. Yet Jesus said, our battle will be pulling those things down spiritually. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. What does that mean? An old man that I used to know, used to say, The biggest nation on the world in the world is imagination. Our imagination runs wild. That's one of the things that God talked about before He destroyed the nation. The imagination of man's was on evil continually. Our imaginations need to be brought into captivity. They need to be cast down. They need to be put down. You know, it's pretty easy whenever somebody says a little something and, boy, what do they mean by that? And that's all it takes. The next thing you know, we're thinking about what they said. Then we think, well, look what they did a few minutes ago. Before that. Well, last week they said something. I think they hate me. And you just go on and on and on. Our imagination just runs wild. We need to cast down those imaginations. Cast them down. Image. Making images. That's what it is. It's creating an image out of something that's not real. Making a God out of something that's not the real God. Making an imagination. We've got to guard ourselves against our imagination. We imagine evil things. The Bible says, whatsoever things are good and whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Cast down everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Paul determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. The Bible says, I think it's in Hosea, a prophecy that in the last days knowledge shall be increased. Do you know that? I don't know the exact statistics. But from the time of Christ until the middle of the 19th century, or the part of the 1800s, it took, however they knew, what all man knew, everything that man knew, it took almost 1900 years for man to double what he knew. The knowledge that he had. Since then, it went to 50 years. And then to 20 years. And then to 5 years. The time I saw the statistics, it was every 6 months that knowledge was increasing. And I heard something the other day that in 20 years or so, it's going to be down something like every week or something. The knowledge that man has increasing. The Bible says in Genesis that Adam took of the knowledge of fruit and evil, or of good and evil, the fruit of good and evil. He wanted to know. I think that's dangerous to us. I think it works against us. All of this knowledge. I think we need to be careful about it. We got things in our hands that can find out anything you want to know in a matter of seconds. We get a little impatient if it takes more than 10. That's dangerous. That's exalting itself against Christ. It's exalting itself against us. the more we know. The Bible says that knowledge puffeth up. We need to be careful with it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. The man that preaches on the street in Springfield the other night said, "We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength." And then he brought out the point, you know, when we get up in the morning, where are your thoughts? What does your heart go to? Your thoughts about God in the morning? What about in the evening? Are your thoughts about God in the evening? How can you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul if you do that? That's where your thoughts are going to be. And so when Satan comes along, and that's who it is that gives you these thoughts, when he comes along and gives you thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ, you have the power to reject them. You know, whenever we hear voices in our minds, we hear thoughts. Whenever God is speaking to you, what kind of voice does He speak to you with? Whenever Satan is speaking to you, what kind of voice does he speak to you with? Does God have a big, deep, high, reverberating voice whenever he speaks to you? And does Satan have a wicked, eerie voice whenever he speaks to you? Is that how you tell? They all sound just like you. They all speak through our soul, and they all sound just like you. You know the difference between where they'll lead you. You know the difference by where those thoughts will take you. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. Anger, bitterness, all of those wicked things, those thoughts that come to you that lead you away from God, bring them into captivity. Stop them. It's not sin to have them. It's not sin because they come at you. It's sin to take them and make them your own, because that gives Satan a foothold right in your mind. That gives Satan the key to your mind whenever you make those thoughts your own. That's why he's pumping people's heads full of music and TVs and videos and all that kind of stuff. Just planting little thoughts. It don't have to be sublineal messages. All he has to do is just tell them to you. And that plants little seeds. Plant the seeds of goodness. There's two spirits in the world. There's two different kinds of thoughts in the world. Choose God's and bring every other one into captivity. The only thing that you have power of in this life is your attitude and your thoughts. And you can control those, if you will. Why would God tell us to do it if He didn't think we could do it? The key to victory, whatever it is that you're struggling with, is right here in your mind. If you let down the guard in your mind, Satan's right there to enter in. But if you keep the guard up and you keep the fight up and you keep your will surrendered to God's will, that's so important. Because your will is surrendered to somebody. You think it's yourself, but it's not. If it's not surrendered to God, it's surrendered to Satan. There's two kingdoms. There's two worlds. There's two spirits. We're one of the other. And a mind that's against God is a mind that's against God. A mind that's not for God is a mind that's against God. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have the power to overcome Satan. Jesus bought that victory. He overcame Satan with good. And that's how we overcome. Whenever those thoughts come that are against you, that are from Satan, that are tempting you to evil, overcome them with good. If you're tempted to be angry, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despisefully use you and abuse you. Don't pray for them in a self-righteous attitude, thinking, I'll pray for them. You pray for them. Who's your enemy? Who is the person that is most against you in this life? Pray for them. Bless them. Don't speak evil against them. Don't think evil against them. Overcome those things with good. Pray for your enemy that God would bless them. Not just make them quit causing you trouble. Pray for them that God would bless them and help them. Jesus hanging on the cross. Those men had driven nails in His hand. They had beaten Him with whips. They'd put a crown of thorns on His head. They dressed Him up like a king and laughed at Him. How would you do under all of that? All someone has to do is say some little something against us and we're mad at them. All someone has to do is point out one of our faults and here we are upset with them. Not the way of Christ. Christ said, Father, forgive them. Do you think Christ's prayers are valid? Do you think when He asked God something, you don't think He had God's attention? What do you think God did? God forgave those people that were just finished nailing Jesus to the cross. They're forgiven. That don't make them Christians. But I don't believe that'll come up on the judgment day about them or what they did. Stephen. The people of his community and family. The people that he grew up with. Stoned him. They knew who he was. And they stoned him. And as he was dying, he said, "Father, forgive them." Jesus was standing up. He's supposed to be seated on the right hand of God. And when Stephen looked up, he saw Jesus standing. You don't think Stephen had Jesus' ear? He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive them. I believe they were forgiven. He overcame them with his thoughts. He wasn't thinking, "Well, I know that fella. He's throwing a rock at me. Well, I know what he did. I know what he's doing. He's wrong. That's evil." He wasn't thinking that way. He wasn't condemning those people that were doing this very thing to him. He was praying for them because he loved them. He was blessing them. Our problems with anger, depression, forgiveness, struggles, thoughts about ourselves. Bring them into captivity. They'll eat you alive. Thoughts of lust. Bring them into captivity. Don't let them have a seed there. Don't let them stay there. Bring them into captivity. We all have them. We all have every one of these things that we deal with. We're all tempted, just like every man. We're of the same passions, James said. We all have the same thoughts and ideas and temptations. What we do with them is what makes the difference. Bring them into captivity. Bring them into captivity. Don't let an evil thought grow. That's why Jesus said, don't go to bed angry. Don't let those things sit there and fester. Don't sit around and nurse wounds that someone's done to you. Get rid of them. Bring them into captivity. They'll destroy us. Overcome evil with good. Everyone's afraid of being brainwashed. And that's exactly what the world needs. Your dirty mind needs brainwashed. May God cleanse every thought. May the washing of the water by the Word bring everything to the subjection of Christ, to the obedience of Christ. That's what the Bible does. When you read it and apply it and look into the perfect law of liberty, it's like a mirror. The perfect law of liberty, setting us free from these things that will destroy us. That we can rise above, and that we can then take the message and tear down the gates of hell with it. That we can go forth as God's army, casting down strongholds. You can build your army as big as you want to. There's a bigger army. You can build your guns and your bombs and all that kind of stuff. But the army that's going to win is the one that casts down the wicked imaginations, the wicked thoughts. That's where it starts, those little thoughts. The greatest sin starts from the littlest thought. The greatest faith can start from the same seed, the littlest thought, and go the other way. We can be just as holy and just as godly as the wickedest person is wicked. We can be just as much a man of God as there are people that serve and sell themselves to the devil. We have just as much strength as they do to be right as they do to be wrong. We are living on the edge of God's judgment. Heard about it all my life. Jesus will return soon. But I heard about it whenever people in the world still cared a little bit about morality. They don't anymore. I heard about it when there was still a little fear of God in the world. And there isn't anymore. Throughout history, if we just look at history, it starts in Sodom and Gomorrah. Whenever a nation turns to debauchery and homosexuality and things like that, they're doomed. It's happened every time in history. And it will happen again. We're on the verge of judgment. Let's keep fighting. Keep fighting. The closer we get to the battle, the tougher the battle's going to be. The closer we get to the front, the more bullets are going to be flying. The more dangerous it is. But fear not. We have nothing to fear of those dangers. If we keep pressing on. You know, the armor of God, whenever you look at the picture of it, it's got the shield, the breastplate, the girdle of truth, and the helmet, and the sword, and the shoes. But it doesn't have nothing for the backside. If you turn around and run, you're on your own. The fearful and the abominable and whoremongers and liars and witchcraft and fornication shall not inherit the kingdom of God. May God help us to press on. Father, fill us with Your Spirit. Again, Lord, help us be faithful to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
world mind. Come follow. So we don't have any problems. We come having problems.
Amen. Well, Lord willing, see you all this evening, 6:30 or 6. All right, God bless you.
Yeah.